Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Bass, and welcome to Stairway to Heaven. And it seems like since it's going to be a beautiful day, my guest is Elder Tony Cornett, and his topic is Embracing the Spirit. Say hello to everyone. Get on there and give me a little history of this. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord to everyone. This is Reverend Cornett, Hebrew Missionary Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Greetings in Jesus' name.
Okay, and greetings to you. The subject is Embracing the Spirit by Galatians, verse 3. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's embracing the harmony of the Spirit. Right. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17.
Okay, then I missed that word out. I wrote it down, but I missed it. Well, anyway, we're going to get started, and I'm going to let you kick off with your lesson. And go ahead and just start off. Hello?
Thank you. First of all, I just want to give honor to God and who is the head of my life. I thank God for all that he's doing. I thank God for the opportunity to share the word on tonight. Give an honor to my pastor in his absence, Dr. Benny T. Henson, and the Hebrew Missionary Baptist Church in Columbus. We thank God for them and their support. They've always been there. And we ask that you would just listen in and try to glean what the Lord has for us on tonight. But prior to going into the word, I would like to pray. Let us pray. Most gracious and all-wise God, we thank you, Lord, for just allowing us on tonight to assemble. And although it may not be face-to-face, we know that the Spirit of the living God is amongst us, Lord, because the Bible clearly says, he who the Son has set free is free indeed, and we're free to worship you and to praise you and to learn of you on tonight. Now, bless this study, Lord. Bless the dialogue. We ask these and all blessings in the precious and almighty name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen. Good prayer. So how did you come? Go ahead.
At this time, I want to go ahead and read our scripture on tonight. Again, New Testament book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. And I'll be reading from the NIV. And it reads, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord has been blessed.
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
What I'd like to do initially is just kind of start out by giving some background on this particular scripture. It was written by the Apostle Paul. And it was written to the church at Colossae. And the purpose of it was to combat errors in the church and to show that believers have everything they need in Jesus Christ. Paul had never visited Colossae. The church had been infiltrated by religious relativism with some believers attempting to combine elements of paganism and secular philosophy with Christian doctrine. Paul confronts these false teachings and affirms the sufficiency of Christ. Allow me to say that in this postmodern world that we live in now, there is some sentiment that we are in, that we need Jesus Christ in something else, which is absolutely false. The Word of God clearly makes it plain throughout the Bible, and Jesus said in the book of John, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me." So with that said, there's absolutely no call or should be no desire on the part of any believer to accept anything other than Christ as the sufficiency for salvation. Now, understand, we are in a world where there are a lot of religions, and allow me to break this down, if I may, just a bit. When you talk about religion and salvation, you're talking about an apple and an orange. Salvation is what allows you to be saved. In other words, when an individual has salvation, that means that they've been justified. And justified means to be declared righteous. Now, anyone can study religion. There's a thousand different religions, but religion in and of itself doesn't have any substance from the standpoint of your religion can't save you. See, it's salvation. It's the blood of Jesus that allows each and every human being to be reconciled to the Creator. And prayerfully, I've got some listeners out there that truly understand that we were bought, and we our debt was paid at Calvary's cross. So with that said, there is no way to earn our way into heaven. What we have to do is simply accept Christ and his plan alone. So as I stated initially, there's no Jesus in something else. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And if someone needs to interject, I don't know if you're taking questions, but if you are, just stop me, because sometimes I get going. But, yeah, so Paul was in this situation where he was dealing with some things, and I say that at this particular time, in the era or in the time in which we're living, it's no better time than now for us to embrace the harmony of the Spirit. Now, we as humankind all are different. But as believers in Christ, we have one mission, and that's to glorify God. That's it. There's no, I mean, we can never allow our personal agenda to supersede God's plan for our lives. And as we spread the gospel and invite people to understand and to embellish the harmony of the Spirit, it's imperative that we, the believer, the Christian, be on one accord. Yes. As we look back at just a little bit of the setting of the text, Paul was dealing with Gnosticism, and Gnosticism was a prominent heretical of the second century Christian church, partly of the pre-Christian origin. Gnostic doctrine taught that the world was created and ruled by a lesser divinity, the Demiurge, and that Christ was an emissary of the remote supreme divine being. Esoteric knowledge, in other words, Gnosis, of whom enabled the redemption of the human spirit. And sometimes we can make an analogy between the postmodern church and the church at Colossae. I'm safe in saying that the believers of the day have somehow allowed the adversary different places, meaning all places in particular, the physical attributes of a building, and things, activities fashioned as praise and worship that are contrary to true worship and praise. They've allowed those elements, those components, to be incorporated with our daily worship and praise, and it's causing division, dissension, and destitution within the body of Christ. I'm going to stop right there.
Okay,
go ahead, sir.
Let me get this number out so in case people want to call. Now, if those who are enjoying this message and like to ask Pastor, I'm going to the question, you call at 1-877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766. Go ahead, Pastor.
So just to comment briefly on a few words that I previously mentioned, division, dissension, and destitution. Let me define those for you. Division is a disagreement between two or more. It groups or person. Dissension is a disagreement that leads to discord, and destitution in the spiritual sense is one who's without the basic necessities of life. In other words, when you're out of the ark of safety, when you are not saved, you are destitute. For those of you that may be familiar with the book of Psalms, when David said, I was born in sin and chastened in iniquity. So allow me to say that every human being that's born into this world is born into a state known as the state of sin. It had nothing to do with their parents, grandparents, their lineage, or none of that. That's the way they're born into sin. And until an individual is reconciled through Jesus Christ, in other words, the reconciliation must come through your belief. See, because wrapped up in that belief is faith, because the word clearly says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So sometimes we see that breakdown even within the body of Christ, where people tend to veer off, and they do not, for whatever reason, embrace the harmony of the Spirit. See, because when the Spirit is living on the inside, although we may have disagreements or misunderstandings with people, that Spirit of the living God should top everything. It should rise above everything. And when we embrace that, then we can be at peace, although we may disagree. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. When we look at a textual examination of the text, in other words, embracing the harmony of the Spirit, to embrace means to accept or support a belief, a theory, or change willingly and enthusiastically. I'm going to repeat that. To embrace means to accept or support a belief, theory, or change willingly and enthusiastically.
Okay.
In other words.
Okay, hold on. We got something coming. This is Doc McKinney. This is Doc McKinney and the Stairway Travelers. We'll be right there. Hold it right there, Pastor.
Don't want God to heal you. Don't act.
Okay, that is Larry Gatewood called Don't Ask. Okay, Pastor, are you still there? Are you still there? Caller, are you still there? Okay, that is Larry Gatewood, and that song was called Don't Ask. And for those, you know, that's a beautiful song. That's why I chose everybody. That people need things, and some people don't ask. Pastor, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, you can go ahead. Continue on.
Thank you. Amen. So as I was saying before break, to embrace means to accept or to support a belief, theory, or change willingly and enthusiastically. And it's important to understand that change sometimes can be difficult. Change is can be away from what we know is the norm. And a good example is what we're dealing with now with COVID-19, corona, or however you choose to phrase it. In some instances, it has developed for many what may very well be a new norm. However, in the spiritual sense, we have to look at things that when we become when we become a part of the body of Christ, things change. So that harmony of the spirit is what allows us to coexist with one another. In other words, when we properly embrace our individual and corporate assignment, there must be a willingness to forego personal emotions, attitudes, and preconceived notions and yield to the spirit of the only true and living God. This implies not looking back and attempt to align with unfortunate circumstances that may have yielded an unpleasant outcome. Don't sell out to the mindset that resonates in our minds from time to time. We tried this before and it didn't work. Seek the Lord and ask without reservation, Lord, what is your plan for my life? See, allow me to say that oftentimes when we pray, we ask for places, we ask for things, we ask for circumstances. But our prayer should be, ultimately, Lord, what like Jesus prayed in the garden, Lord, whatever your will is for me, give me a mind to be accepting of it. Allow me to share a brief story with you tonight. For those of you that may be familiar with my calling, I'm involved in prison ministry. So I went one night to an institution, and I prayed for a young man, and he asked me to pray for his release, and I did. And on the way home, the Lord said, don't pray for somebody's release. You don't know my plan for him. You're praying for him to be released. That may not be my plan for him. He said, going forward, pray that whatever my will is for the young man, that he would be accepting of it. So I'm saying to all those listening tonight and to myself, Lord, whatever your plan is for me, give me the mind to accept it. And when I accept your plan, I am embracing the spirit, your spirit of harmony. Amen?
Amen.
Remember that our ways are not his ways, and neither are our thoughts his thoughts. Embracing the spirit of harmony emphasizes a faith, hope, and trust that can only be received as a result of being in proper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to repeat that. Embracing the spirit of harmony emphasizes a faith, hope, and trust that can only be received as the result of being in proper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Consequently, don't step up. Okay.
Hold up. We've got another break. After this song, we'll be right back.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Working in the church, that won't save a soul. No, you might be working in the church, that won't save a soul. I said you must be born again. You must be born again. You might be singing on the choir, that won't save.
Okay, that was Pastor Matthews of Fairway Traveler singing, working in the church. All right, if you want to call in on this comment and talk to Pastor, ask Pastor Preston, call at 1-877-932-9766. That's 877-932-9766. Pastor, go ahead and continue. Are you still there? Pastor,
yes, I am. I'm sorry. That song that was played during the station break was a segue into where I was getting ready to go. So God is awesome. But that song talked about being born again. And as I had said just before the break, I said embracing the spirit of harmony emphasizes the faith, hope, and trust that can only be received as a result of being in proper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, in order to be in a proper relationship with Jesus Christ, you must be born again. So consequently, don't accept others who simply have not been justified, in other words, declared righteous, to behave as a born-again believer. Respect like a born-again believer and love as a born-again believer. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to embrace means that acceptance of the Spirit, willing to sell out completely and just give up us. You know, because I know it's common in the world we live in where folks often say, well, I'm just doing me. Well, wait a minute. That can't be. If you're a soldier in the army of the Lord, you have to be doing what Jesus instructs you to do. Because as the word says, I believe it's the Apostle Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So me means that we're doing what we desire to do. Harmony. the quality of forming a pleasing, consistent whole. In other words, when we embrace spiritual harmony, that means that we are on one accord. We wholeheartedly support the mission of the church, the body of the of Christ, following our leader as he follows the Lord. Subsequently, and this is personal, Reverend Cornett cannot be upset that he wasn't chosen as one of the ministers to render one of the last seven words or the morning speaker for sunrise service on resurrection service. He should pray for the speaker of the hour as he would pray as if he is the speaker of the hour. In order to be on one accord, every one of us must decrease that me to the smallest degree and exalt him. The word of God says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, the apostle Paul talked about living in harmony with one another. There are several issues that I believe this particular text that we read into your hearing earlier is speaking into our spirit on this evening. Initially, learn of Christ. And those that may be taking notes, feel free. Learn of Christ, verses 2 through 3, says.
Okay. Pastor, hold on. We're getting ready to go into another break, and we'll be back after another break. Then we're
talking about if you're burdened down.
Okay, this is Dr. Bates Cross. This is for YouTube. And we're getting ready to get off on YouTube. And we'll see you next time on YouTube. And the show will continue. For those who are listening on the radio, on the phone, keep listening. We'll be on it after this break.
Quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33, with not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream. It's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
This is Dr. Bass, and we're back, and my guest is Pastor Tony Garrett, and his topic of the day, embracing the spirit in harmony, and it's been a good lesson to learn. Pastor, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. This subject you got is real. It sounds real, real good, and I hope, I believe everybody's listening to it. I know my pastor, he's probably listening to it, too. So, go ahead on and continue on. We're gonna let's go ahead. Go ahead and continue, because I'm listening. It's real good to me.
Okay. Well, for the sake of radio time, I omitted the early part of that chapter, but I wanted to go back and cover two of the points that I have that come from verses that weren't read, but I'll read them into your hearing, because initially I just read started at 12 and went through 17 in Colossians chapter 3. But there's several issues that I believe the text is speaking into our spirit. And initially, learn of fights. In verses 2 and 3 of the text, it says, set your mind on things above, not of earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We must learn of Christ in order to be better equipped to meet the needs of a world enthralled by sin. I'm going to park right there just for a minute. Church, we are living in a world in which sin is widely accepted. Debauchery is glamorized. Evil appears to be the norm. However, as believers, we must continue to learn of Christ. In setting our minds on things above, we need to be less concerned about what we drive today and more concerned about eternity.
That is so true.
Subsequently, our eschatological destination, which is the final destiny of the soul and of mankind. Do not buy into the fact that it all ends with our physical stoppage of activity. The word of God in the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us that God has set eternity in the human heart. That means that we can never be completely satisfied with earthly pleasures and pursuits, because because we are created in his image and likeness. Our lives must be Christ-centered as a result of how we live, above and beyond what we say.
Excuse me.
Learning of Christ consists of fervent prayer. And when I say fervent prayer, the book of James makes it very plain. It says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. In other words, when the people of God pray and pray on one accord with all minds clear, prayer changes things. Amen? So we grow because we pray. That prayer allows us to extend far beyond some of our personal insufficiencies, and it allows the power of God to take hold and take us to places that we never would have fathomed. And I'm talking about spiritually, not visiting places or not a cruise or anything like that. I'm saying when God is first in your life, there's a difference made in your life that's noticeable. Amen.
Amen.
Learning of Christ implies studying the Word of God, which extends far beyond a vast array of scripture memorization. Extensive Bible knowledge, however, learning of Christ is the expression of spiritual growth in terms of our commitment, obedience, diligence, and reverence to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Learn of Christ and continue to embrace the harmony of the Spirit. That harmony of the Spirit is so powerful simply because the implication in harmony means that there's a togetherness. And oftentimes we can find ourselves, if we're not careful, allowing the adversary to fragment us and to separate us, sometimes based on the smallest and most insignificant component or occurrence. We have to stay together. There's an old saying that says, you know, a house divided simply can't stand. And there's some truth in that. There really is. So we have to remain steadfast, unmovable through our togetherness. Amen?
Amen. Hey, could you explain to me about the house that's not together, doesn't stand? I mean, how would you explain that to me? That, well, maybe our listeners can hear, learn a little bit, make it a bit easier for them.
Well, when I say a house, I'm referring to the body of Christ.
Okay.
You take the body of Christ or even a local church assembly. When there's isms and schisms within that church, that can create a problem. Because understand, the devil comes to church every Sunday in dressed up.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't wear cheap suits like I wear. He's dressed up to the nines,
uh-huh.
and he may be able to quote the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Memory's good, he's sharp. However, the inside is rotten. As the word says, you know, outwardly one may appear as a sheep, but it's a sheep in wolf clothes. And see, division, and maybe I can break it down just a little bit. Division causes dissension.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like the domino effect.
Okay.
And what the adversary does is he gets individuals, he gets believers to become at odds with one another. Again, as I mentioned before about some of the smallest of things. I've seen folks, not in my current church, but I was at an assembly where folks fell out about the songs that were being sung. Two people in general in the choir, and it got ugly.
Hmm.
There's no room for that. Let's sing, because first and foremost, we're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's not about who's singing the song or who wrote the song. I can't carry a note in a bucket, but I sing in church because I want to uplift the name of Jesus. And that's all I'm asked to do. I'm not asked to be, you know, I'm not someone that's waiting on some record mogul to sign me up.
Right.
God didn't call me to do that. That's not my gift.
Uh-huh.
But I can still make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So when I say a house divided, we have to remain on one accord. Because we are different individuals, we don't always agree.
Okay.
But we have to set those things aside and know, one, who we are. We're a sinner saved by grace. And whose we are. We're child of the only true and living God. And when those two things are intact, we can embrace the spirit of harmony. Did that better explain it?
Yeah, it does explain it. Explain it fully. Let me go back to one you said. They say use it that assembly, and two people got to arguing about songs. Well, I have ran into that myself because I'm a musician and I sing too. My group has been places where people didn't like the stuff that we sing, and it didn't get ugly till we left, till it was over with. It was some words said, so we just kept on going. But you're all right. Things, the devil can come in and just destroy everything that's good.
Well, but, allow me to say, when you talk about, and again, I'm not a musician, I'm not a vocalist.
Uh-huh.
But as a musician and as a vocalist, in the modern church, there has been, in some of them, there has been a concerted effort to insert songs that are catchy, because understand that music is a mood setter.
Okay,
a lot of times, it can set the atmosphere. But what we have to be cognizant of and aware of is that if the song doesn't lift up the name of Jesus, if it's not about Jesus Christ, it's got no place in the church. I don't care how catchy it is. I'm not concerned with the beat because, you know, we come to church to worship and to pray. But what has happened is, and I'm not bashing musicians, I'm not bashing vocalists, but far too many of them have become hirelings as opposed to ministers of the gospel. Because singing unto the Lord is a ministry.
Right, it's
and
so
that's
true.
What it is. And it's become to the point where even when you turn on and I listen to Sirius in my car. It's Channel 64,
okay,
the gospel station. And there's a period where they have what they call crossover music. And it caters to folks who are gospel artists who basically sing hip-hop songs.
Okay.
And if you listen to some of their music, and even some of your profound gospel singers, it may have a sackling of religion in it. But to say that it's a gospel song is very, very far from the truth.
That is true.
So when you went someplace, I've listened to some of your music when we met and tonight, those are gospel spiritual songs. That's what they are. And sometimes you may get a crowd that may say, you know what, I don't care for that music. Well, okay. You know, that's par for the course. The gospel, let's be real about it. To someone who doesn't believe, the gospel is offensive. So if the gospel is offensive, a gospel song in all likelihood is going to be offensive to them also. They simply may not want to hear it. And what I've learned to do through the power of the Holy Spirit is not to take it personal. It's not you they don't care for. They don't care for the spirit that lives on the inside of you. And that's nothing that you would ever want to change.
Mm-hmm.
If you go someplace and someone doesn't like the message, the gospel message in song, hey, thank them and pray for them and keep pressing. Don't stop singing.
That's a good
amen.
Amen. That is true. That is, that's what I do. I've been doing that ever since I was 16 playing that. But yeah, amen. You are right. Continue on.
the second point. So we say learn for Christ. The second point is found in verse 5, live for Christ. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever brings, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Mm-hmm. We as believers have to continually crucify this fleshly nature that we were born with. In other words, we must subdue the body or its needs and desires by self-denial and discipline. And that word discipline is a part of the base word of disciple. In other words, when we talk about disciple, we're talking about being a disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And allow me to say that this process of self-denial must be accompanied with the willingness to not only acknowledge Jesus Christ, but to serve him in the beauty of holiness. And when I say holiness, holiness is not a denomination. Let's clear that up. Holiness is by no means, and I hear it time and time again, that people say, well, that's a holiness church. Well, if we're of the Lord, the word admonishes us. It says, be holy, for I am holy. So holiness is not a denomination. It's not a type of church. It should be every born-again believer.
Wow.
Amen?
Amen. That's the first time I heard that.
Right. Every born-again believer. Folks are quick to say, well, that's a holiness church. That's a holy, sanctified church. Well, we're being sanctified day by day when we're in Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, I believe in chapter 5, says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In other words, whatever was is no longer there. Allow me to say that recently I had a relative. She made a statement that her demons were bothering her. And I did my best to try to contact her and let her know. When you have been justified, when you've been declared righteous, you don't have no demons. You may have issues, but you can't. A demon can't live in the same dwelling with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. No. So when if you hear a saved person say these demons, No. You don't have no demons. You know, the word makes it clear. It says there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
But believers don't have demons. Because we're in this human body, we're going to have issues until we take our last breath. But demons aren't one of them. Not at all. Oh. We have struggles. The word addresses that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Okay.
But we have what's known as grace. And we're saved by grace through faith. So hopefully that's better understood. You know, this whole issue of the demons and how we're, I'm a believer that.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, we got another break coming through. Hold on.
Okay.
We'll be right back after this song.
Might be going through ups and downs in your life, and it seems the trials seem to get the best of you. Tired of shedding tears, and you giving your all.
and that's all that you can do. Nevertheless, the pain is still there, and it seems no one really cares. I want to let you know that God can. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. And the doctor turn away and shake his head. Seems like the more medicine you take, the worse your body's in pain. Never seen the sunshine for so much rain. But I'm here to let you know that God is still in the healing business. Oh, yes, He is. Just one touch of His healing hand. Oh, 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 oh. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. If you believe that God can.
Stairway Traveler, Reverend Matthews, and Doctor, if you like the songs that we play, if you like the sermon that we talk about, you call me at 877-932-9766. It's 877-932-9766. Pastor, you can continue on. We ain't got that long, but I'm going to let you finish out. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Praise the Lord again. As we were talking about being disciple and living for Christ, allow me to say that this process of self-denial must be accompanied with the willingness to not only acknowledge Jesus Christ, but to serve Him, as I mentioned before, in the beauty of holiness. Far too often there exists a belief or false concept that knowing who the Lord is good enough to be declared righteous, justified by faith. Contrary to that belief is the fact that being a Christian, living for Jesus Christ, involves allegiance. In other words, do you belong to Him is the question that one should ask. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you accepted His way for your life? Is your life Christ-centered? Is your victory in Jesus? Living for Christ is not 6 hours a week, but 168 hours a week. It's not a vocation of sorts that can be retrieved on Wednesday during Bible study and Sunday morning. It's imperative that we, the people of God, understand that we may not be in Christ, that we may not be in Christ where we would like to be. However, we are not where we used to be. Know that because He died, we died, and our lives are hidden in Him. And last but not least, love is Christ's love. Verses 12 and 13 of the text, and I know time is short, but it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The word teaches us that God is love and is also states that we love because he first loved us. Loving as Christ loved is not optional. As we navigate spiritually, it's important to understand the difference between prescriptive and descriptive within the context of God's word and how it applies to our life. The virtue of love is essential for a born-again believer. Consequently, if we don't love as Christ loved, it's impossible to love him. When we embrace the spirit of harmony, we will attempt to love in the very same manner in which he loved.
Okay.
The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
All right.
God bless you.
All right. Thanks, Pastor Garnett. And that was a good lesson. And, you know, as I said, it was I hope someone out there enjoyed, and I hope someone it lead to somebody coming to the Lord. And hopefully, I will bring him back for again. And since all this mess is over, you know, we'll probably be able to get him in the studio. But right now, this is Dr. Bass, and this is Reverend Beth Matthews, who's going to take us home. So I'm going to say this. The mind is nothing but the garden. What you put in it grows. Don't put nothing in your mind. And may the Lord bless you. And thank you. See you on the 17th. Bye.
God bless you. Good night.